stone, like he was testing it for cracks or imperfections, before he tapped the end of it against Moses' hand. Moses peeled his fingers back, setting them on her hips, as Kian tapped the cool, rounded crystal against her lips next.
"Open your mouth."
She parted her lips, and he pushed in without warning, flattening her tongue as he filled her mouth, the end of the stone hitting the back of her throat. The sudden invasion had surprised tears filling her eyes, but the way Kian was watching her also had liquid heat pooling low in her stomach, making her press and rub her thighs together in an attempt to ease the ache.
"Make sure it's nice and wet," Moses warned lowly, "or this is going to hurt."
That spark of alarm burned hotter, and it must have also spiked in her scent, because Moses let out a short grunt of approval against the back of her head, enjoying the fear he had encouraged her to feel. Kian pulled the stone out of her mouth, and then several things happened at once. The chain on her chest began burning. Kian ripped her panties off with his free hand, and the stone was pushed immediately between her thighs, forcing her to quickly clamp it there by half-crossing her legs so that it wouldn't fall to the ground and alert all the students to what they were doing. Kian must have seen the chain glowing, because he tugged down the neckline of her shirt, staring at the new gemstone that had appeared. They all waited, panting quietly, suddenly painfully aware of the students on the other side of the door.
"Looks reddish."
Kian was peering at the gem.
"Feel anything?"
She was feeling a lot of things, and Moses was still silencing her. She narrowed her eyes on Kian, like she didn't appreciate the question, and he smirked.
"For the love of every useless fucking god, don't let it be me."
The words popped into her head, growled out in Moses' voice, full of trepidation.
"Isabel?"
Kian prompted.
"It could be fun if she goes feral."
Kian's voice this time. "Inside her head." She slowly shook her head, and Kian's brows lowered dangerously. He twisted the stone she didn't realize he was still holding, and it slipped against her clit, causing another sound to escape her throat and disappear into Moses' palm.
"Eyes normal,"
Moses grunted.
"I'll fucking pray if I have to." "Eyes are normal,"
Kian confirmed.
"My girl is soaked. I've never been so hard. Call her that again, and I'm done cooperating,"
Moses growled, somehow sounding threatening while also barely audible. Kian only chuckled, twisting the stone again and making Isabel slacken back against Moses, who had to tighten his hold of her hip to keep her upright.
"She'll be begging for me so much, you might as well have the words tattooed into your palm before I'm done here."
Kian angled the stone to push against her entrance, his eyes tunneling into hers.
"You want to tell us what happened with Elijah, baby?"
She nodded, her body trying to twist away from the intrusion. The top book on the pile she had been standing on toppled off, smacking into the ground, and they all froze again, waiting for someone to come and investigate. The class was still loudly discussing the incident in the dining hall, replaying all the videos that had popped up on social media as they gathered at the front of the room. Vega was sitting at her desk by the window, peering out of the glass with a frown on her lips, either uninterested in the class without Kian there, or else simply acknowledging that she had no chance of wrangling the students into focusing. After a few horribly tense breaths, Moses tutted out a disapproving sound, looping his arm around her middle as he lifted her a few inches, the stone slipping back between her thighs as he carefully towed away the stack of books and began lowering her to the floor again. Except, Kian refused to lower his hand. She gripped Moses' arm tight in warning, her nails digging in as he lowered her slowly, the stone pushing between her soaked lips again, trying to nestle further into her entrance. Her words of protest were muffled against Moses' palm. She kicked at Kian, but he only flashed her a dark, heated smile.
Need inside.
It was both of their voices layering over each other, along with other thoughts and disjointed statements that were suddenly too loud for her to sort through.
This is bad.
That had been Moses.
Shouldn't do this to Theodore. Going to kill me.
One of the alphas could hear people's innermost thoughts. That didn't bode well for her. Especially since they hadn't thought it necessary to tell her. Moses lowered her down another inch, despite his thoughts, and their words inside her head quickly became a jumble again.
So soft. Smells so good. Could bathe in this. Want to taste. So pretty. Hate this. Could watch her face like this for hours. Want to kiss her. Want to lick her. Want to fucking punch something.
Moses' breath rattled, the fingers digging into her hip flexing as he pushed her down further. She tried to bow her body away from the invading object, but Kian's hand flashed to her other hip until they were both pushing her down. Her nails raised Moses' arm, and she caught a brief whiff of copper, his quiet grunt in her ear telling her that she had drawn blood.
You want to tell us now?
Kian asked, his gaze on fire as he licked his lips. She nodded desperately, but Moses still refused to remove his hand.
You want to tap out?
Kian's whisper was almost lost as they pushed her down further, the stone stretching her, filling her in a way she had never felt before. She was standing on the very tips of her toes, unable to get any higher, her body straining upwards. But there was a niggling little thought in the back of her mind as they both surged closer at the sound of her tortured, muffled groan. She could suddenly feel how hard they both were. Kian's dick pressing into her hip, Moses's curved into the small of her back, and she wondered what it would feel like if it was one of them pushing inside her instead of the smooth crystal. Somewhere in the classroom, Vega was now attempting to waffle on about moon cycles, and the fear of being caught or found out should have hindered her lust. But the growled thoughts hammering into her brain sent her inhibitions swirling away.
Fuck, Isabel.
Kian groaned quietly.
What are you thinking about? You just got so wet it's coating my fingers.
She immediately reached for his hand, twisting her thighs together to keep the stone in place as she pulled his grip away. She felt wild, unhinged. He must have seen it in her eyes because he allowed her to shift his grip, watching her with a mix of curiosity and heat. She scrambled for the drawstring on his pants before pushing both of their hands past the waistband. She circled his fingers around his own length right at the top of his cock as it pushed up into their searching grip, spreading her nectar over his length as she pushed their hands down to the base. Kian's eyes flared, his nostrils flared, even his alpha ring seemed to pulse bigger, a deep rattle emanating from his chest.
Fuck, Illy.
He tugged down Moses' hand and kissed her fully, his tongue spearing into her mouth, the cold metal of his piercing a shock as his hand gripped her throat, squeezing lightly like he was trying to send her a message. His steely length throbbed in their hands before he pulled her fingers out of his pants, groaning at the way she tried to twist her fingers against his skin to leave behind as much of her stickiness as she could. He snapped her hand to his wrist, and she realized he was letting her know that her gesture was still there, that she could still tap the back of one of their hands. And then he squeezed her throat again, his other hand twisting into her hair.
"Want to tell us now?"
he growled out breathlessly, pulling back an inch to let her breathe. She tried to say yes, but he surged forward again, filling her mouth with his tongue before she could muster up a single word.
"You can stand on those pretty toes all day, can't you, Carter?"
Moses whispered silkily. She waited for his thoughts to let her know what he had meant by that, but belatedly realized that the stone on her chest had grown cold again. She felt his rough fingers drifting across her thigh and realized he was about to take control of the stone. She tried to beg for him not to touch it, but Kian flexed his fingers against her neck threateningly, biting down hard on her lip.
"Oh, baby,"
he crooned softly.
"Is there something you wanted to say?"
He flicked his eyes over her shoulder, connecting with Moses for a brief moment.
"Step ladder behind you. Lift her legs."
Moses reacted far too quickly, swooping down and picking her up by the backs of her knees, knocking her off balance and back into him as he lowered himself to the thin stepladder shoved into the corner of the cupboard, one of his boots planted on the lower rung, the other steady against the ground to keep them balanced. Kian had caught the crystal as it slipped out of her, and he held it now, staring down at her as Moses peeled her legs apart, his head falling into the crook of her neck. Moses seemed to inhale her deeply, his chest vibrating with a rough, almost inaudible sound. He thrust his hips up, his erection grinding into her ass as his hand brushed up her torso, between her breasts, stopping at her neck. She expected him to cover her mouth again, but instead, he wrapped her neck in his grip, squeezing with a deeper groan falling against her ear. His other hand drifted between her legs as he hooked his knees beneath hers and spread her out wider, wide enough that she could feel the air from the door slats against her heated, swollen skin. Kian watched with hooded eyes, gripping her chin and absently stroking her lower lip as his eyes fell between her legs. When he raised his gaze again, he sucked in a sharp breath.
"Stay just like that, doll."
He pinched her chin higher, lifting her gaze fully to his as he stepped forward, towering over both her and Moses on the short stepladder.
"Don't take your eyes off me, and I'll let you leave your scent all over me, okay? Take your eyes off me, and I'll wipe it all away."
She nodded, a whimper catching in the back of her throat. Kian must have handed Moses the stone without her noticing, because she could suddenly feel it slipping between her folds again, the head notching at her entrance as it came to rest there. She wanted to flutter her eyelids closed at the sensation, but held them open instead as Kian pushed down the waistband of his pants, pulling out his cock. It was long and tanned, the golden tone of his skin flushed with a ruby glow, the veins pulsing as he gripped it and squeezed. She briefly glanced the full tattoo curling from his inner thigh and around his groin. Twisted branches and delicate, scattered tufts of flowers. It looked like a gust of wind had torn through the knotted tree, sending petals fluttering around the stem of his cock and to the other side of his groin. The petals were colored in a delicate pink, the rest of the tattoo black.
"You want to cover me with saliva, baby?"
His scent swelled, filling her lungs to bursting point. She nodded, and Moses's hand gave her a quick warning squeeze before he shoved the stone into her several inches at once. She jolted back and almost shrieked, but Kian took advantage of her mouth popping open in shock and suddenly thrust into it, pushing all the way to the back of her throat in one brutal movement. She choked on him instantly, the gagging sound cut off because he was filling her mouth completely, her jaw straining to accommodate him, her tongue flattened. She clenched around the stone, and she knew she was dripping her excitement over Moses' hand because he bit down against the back of her neck, almost in retaliation, punishing her for enjoying herself. He forced the stone all the way into her, thrusting as suddenly as Kian had, his teeth still latched onto her skin, and she let out a keening wail that never escaped her throat and only seemed to cause her mouth to vibrate around Kian's pulsing length. Kian growled and Moses cursed, pulling the smooth crystal out and forcing it back in, all the way to the base, the movement strong and smooth, powerful enough to jolt her and have her desperately grappling at both of their arms in an attempt to suck air back into her lungs. They both eased off a bit, Kian pulling halfway out of her mouth, staring down at her with pinched brows, combing his fingers softly through her hair, gentling her as Moses tapped his fingers against her neck in a distracted, agitated pattern, like he was counting down the seconds until he could squeeze the breath out of her. "Please," she tried to whisper around Kian's hot length, blinking blurry tears out of her vision as she stared up at him, but he only gripped the back of her head and slid inside as far as he could push again. Kian's thumbs stroked beneath her eye, swiping at the strained tears that gathered there before popping his thumb between his lips to lick away the salty drop from his skin. She felt momentarily hypnotized, but then Moses distracted her by thrusting the stone in and out of her again, his movements jerky, like he was trying to stop himself. He licked over the spot on the back of her neck where he had bitten her, but then his teeth scraped her again, in a different spot, and then again and again. He fucked her with the stone, faster and harder, and she licked her tongue along the swollen flesh before her face, wanting to taste the tang of salt water and the burn of sunlight as badly as she wanted to cover Kian in her own scent. She licked and licked and tried to keep her whimpers to the back of her throat as their scents thickened into the headiest mix of salt and sap, so thick she could almost feel it dribbling over her skin.
"Baby," Kian rasped out, "that's enough. I'm going to lose control."
He was going to take it away? There were parts she had only licked once. She gripped the base of him, quickly closing her mouth around the head and trying to push all of him back into her mouth.
"Illy, fuck, fuck. You need to stop, baby girl, or I'll come all over you. Get a single fucking drop on her and I will literally break your fucking dick, Kian Ashford. I'm not fucking around," Moses ground out, his quiet alpha voice radiating through his body and into Isabel's.
She squirmed back against him and pulled back to lick the salty liquid drops that were gathering on the tip of Kian's cock.
"Isabel," Kian whispered,
his voice barely more than a rasp, his eyes unfocused.
"You need to stop, honey."
Something swooped low in her stomach, some kind of rejection she didn't understand at all. It was like the bond had taken over, forcing her to need certain things she couldn't even make sense of. She needed Kian to let her lick him, mark him, claim him, and he didn't want her to. Her vision flooded with tears, different tears this time, her stomach twisting painfully, and Kian blew out a long breath before pushing the head of his cock against her trembling lips.
"This isn't part of your initiation," he said huskily. "This is just what happens when you pout at me."
He pushed back into her mouth, twisted his hands into her hair, and started to fuck her mouth roughly, pushing in as deep as her throat would allow before rocking a few times and forcing himself even deeper, and then pulling out and shoving back in, repeating the brutal movements, until he stilled, pulsing and spilling hot liquid, deep into her throat. Moses kept his grip on her light so that she wouldn't choke, but she still struggled to swallow it down, her body so on edge that she was squirming uncontrollably in Moses' lap, causing him to push his hips up, seeking relief by rubbing his erection against her. Kian was still growling lowly in the back of his throat when he pulled from her mouth, tugging his pants up over his glistening dick immediately, like he was already fighting off the urge to ease it back into her. He crouched down in front of her, gently laying his hand over her mouth.
"Do you want to tell us now, sweetheart?"
She nodded frantically, her hips now moving in synchronization with the drag of the stone in and out of her gripping channel. She had never felt so desperate before in her life. She just wanted relief.
"Then tell us, and we'll let you come."
Kian peeled his hand away, bending close so she could whisper to him.
"Why did Elijah surge, Illy?"
He liked dancing with me.
"Was he hard, baby?"
Kian crooned, an oddly calculating look flashing into his eyes. She nodded.
"Did he want to get inside you as desperately as Moses wants to get inside you right now?"
She whimpered, clenching around the stone. I don't know. Moses doesn't... It's not like that.
"Shut the fuck up,"
Moses whispered gutturally, allowing the stone to slip out of her, holding it up in front of her.
"Clean it with your hands."
She wrapped her hands around the slippery crystal, coating her palms in her own juices before he pulled it away, handing it off to Kian. He lifted her, spinning her around and tugging her legs around his hips as he resettled her in his lap.
"On me,"
he demanded, tugging at the waistband of his pants until his erection broke free, angry and purplish, thicker than Kian's, but not as long. She quickly wrapped her hands around him, appreciating that he didn't even question her insane need, and had even anticipated it. He groaned as she twisted her hands over his length, trying to cover every inch, fascinated with the way he twitched and throbbed against her fingers. As soon as she pulled her hands away, confident that she had spread her essence everywhere, he snatched her hips and pulled her over his damp stiffness.
"More,"
he grunted quietly, his voice rough and gritty. He ground her pussy over him, making her gush all over him and squirm with the now dire need to come.
"God damn it, Carter." "Moses."
There was a low, quiet warning in Kian's rumble.
"You can't fuck her."
Moses raised his teeth along her collarbone before tugging down her shirt and sports bra, bunching both beneath her breast in his fist while he sucked her nipple into his mouth. He had lifted her off his lap, and she only had the head of his dick to grind against, so she tried to push her hips down onto that, making him hiss out of breath and bite her nipple. She exploded, and he shifted his hips so that she couldn't press down on him the same way, dropping her back to his lap and letting her ride out the waves of her orgasm against his thigh before he stood, a torrent of curses slipping out of his mouth one after the other, his eyes a dark inferno as he set her trembling body on the stepladder and pressed his weeping cock to her lips.
"I can't come on you," he whispered brokenly. "It'll cause a riot."
He seemed to be asking for permission, and for a moment, she was just as confused as he was. She didn't have that kind of relationship with Moses. He didn't even like her. But her lips were parting anyway, and he slid against her tongue with a husky groan. She could see Kian over his shoulder, watching her face with a guarded, calculating look, assessing her, even though there was still a spark of heat in his expression, as she took his friend's cock all the way to the back of her throat. Moses started thrusting unevenly, fucking into her throat as he gripped her cheeks, puffing her lips out as he looked down at her with angry, dark eyes. "Wish you weren't sucking it all off," he muttered in a distracted way before his hips jerked and he exploded against the back of her tongue. "Fuck, fuck, Jesus Christ, why do you have to look like you were made for me? Swallow it all. Every drop, Carter." He stroked a line up her throat and then pulled out of her mouth, tucking himself back into his pants before tugging her up into his arms. He held her against his chest, saying something quietly to Kian, who seemed to be shifting around behind him. The sounds of the classroom on the other side of the cupboard seemed piercingly loud all of a sudden, and she felt dizzy and overwhelmed. There were tears spilling down her cheeks, and she didn't know how to stop them. She had just done what? And with Moses? Kian seemed to be tugging her tights back on while Moses held her, and as he settled them against her hips, he saw her face.
"To me,"
Kian demanded, grabbing her off Moses and sitting on the stepladder so that he could bundle her into his lap.
"Shh, you're okay, doll. You're safe."
He brushed her hair from her face so gently, she could have been made of glass.
"You did so well. You're so beautiful, so perfect."
She liked Kian. Kian was safe. But right at that moment, Kian felt more than dangerous. Without Kian, none of that would have happened. She screwed her eyes closed, willing her body to teleport away. But of course, it didn't work like that. So instead, she slumped into the overheated body holding her, her cheek falling to his shoulder, and she started counting inside her head. He whispered to her that she was stunning, she was perfect, she was such a good girl. And she pushed all those words away before they could weave her back under his spell. She wasn't very experienced, but she also wasn't an idiot. What she had just done was irresponsible. She almost lost her virginity in a closet with Moses.
"Pathetic," her father would say. "What a desperate, pathetic little sigma."
Chapter 15. Red Light, Green Light. Despite her best efforts to ignore him, Kian still managed to calm her somewhat. At least, he managed to stop her crying and fix up all her clothes so that she looked presentable again. But the effort to tell herself that his heat wasn't comforting and his whispered voice didn't sound like heaven had completely sapped all her energy reserves. And when the classroom finally emptied, her legs were too wobbly to move. She scooted away from both of them when they tried to help her, shoving the long pink crystal into her bag because there was no way she was leaving it in there for the students to play with. She burst out of the closet, keeping her head down as she stalked toward the fitness center. Her next class was Mikkel's small group session, but there was no way she could face the other alphas. Unfortunately, luck wasn't on her side, because she was on track to run right into Killian, Nico, and Theodore outside the fitness center. They were walking toward her from the other direction. One of them called out, but she tucked her chin down tighter, quickening her steps to a jog as she yanked open the entrance door and hurried toward the climbing rooms, her heart beating all the way into her throat. She was on autopilot, her brain tripping over itself, her chest growing tight and painful, dark spots flashing before her eyes. She briefly considered stopping and looking for Nico. He would know what to do. He would hold her hands and tell her to squeeze him until the heavy weight of dread stopped crushing her. But no, She just wanted to get to her session with Kaylin. The sign wasn't up on the door yet, but she shoved her way inside anyway, staring around at the empty room. No, this wasn't right. It was time for Mikkel's session, not Kaylin's. She started pacing, moving to the rack of harnesses out of habit as she pulled out her phone. Her vision blurred over with tears, and she froze, forcing her eyes to go dry with an iron will that did nothing to ease the crushing panic threatening to pull her under. She flicked open a group message because she couldn't remember if she had Kaylin's number or not. But what could she say? He was probably busy. She would just practice until it was time for their session. She started strapping herself in, and the door opened. She glanced up, her nose flaring. She usually couldn't smell any of the alphas from so far away, but Kian and Moses were wearing her like a cloud of perfume. The others had joined them. Theodore, Killian, Nico, and Oscar, who must have caught up to the others at some point. Illy. Theodore stepped ahead of the others, a careful, cautious mask over his features. Are you hurt? Hurt? She snapped out the word in a confused way, unable to look at him for long. No, no, I'm just climbing. She turned away, wishing she could draw a full breath, but her chest was too tight. Isabel. It was Kian this time, his voice low and regretful. It threatened to break her heart. And that made her furious. Since when did she care about Kian so much? Sure, they went through a lot together on the settlement tour.
Yes, we did.
She froze, her head snapping up to the climbing wall, the back of her neck prickling. Did I just say that out loud?
Just that we went through a lot together. Do you think you could step away from the wall and talk to us for a little bit?
She winced, the panic flaring bigger and brighter, her breath a rasp. No, I can't. Sorry, I'm training.
What's going on?
Gabriel's voice carried through the room.
We could literally follow her scent all the way here.
Gabriel. Gabriel could read minds. She knew the abilities of everyone else. He was the only unknown. Why don't you tell me? She shot back, spinning on her foot and glaring at him. He didn't look guilty, only considering. Elijah, who had followed him into the room, narrowed an icy gaze on Isabel's face.
You know that thing I don't use anymore, Isabel?
His power? She nodded once, short and sharp, sensing a reprimand incoming.
Gabriel is the same.
Great. Now she had nobody except herself to be angry at again. Unless she sought out Moses, wishing she could do something with the furious energy bubbling in her veins.
Oh, we're getting into it, are we?
He stayed where he was, but it looked like he had shifted his stance. It was eerily similar to something Nico did just before he pounced. She didn't like that she could see the confusion and alarm bleeding out of the darkness of Moses' glare. She didn't like that she could feel it cracking against her body like a whip, opening up wounds so that it could bleed into her, infecting her with her own forced empathy. She tore her eyes away from him before she could crack open her walls and suck his turmoil into herself. No, she relented. Sorry. Anger. Moses didn't like that she wasn't rising to the occasion and fighting with him. Too bad. She turned to the wall again and reached for the first handhold, hoisting herself up.
All right, that's enough.
Nico appeared beside her, plucking her away from the wall as though she was just a bug. He set her back onto her feet and caught her face in his hands.
What's wrong?
Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Oscar moving to her backpack and pulling it open. He picked up something from inside, raising it to his nose, the object still hidden. The crystal. Fucking hell. She tore out of Nico's hold and tried to grab onto the wall again, but he plucked her off as easily as he had the first time, setting her back onto her feet.
Isabel.
Oscar's alpha voice lashed through the room, whipping against her mind.
Come with me.
She didn't have an ounce of strength to resist him, but at least he was leaving the room and walking away from the others. She stripped off her harness and tossed it aside as she trailed after him.
Just her and Kian.
He barked over his shoulder as he flung open the door again. She followed a good few strides behind the two alphas, her eyes on the backs of Oscar's shoes as they passed out of the fitness center. Kian was texting as he walked, while Oscar glared everyone out of their path. Her first thought, when they reached the family center, was that they were dragging her to her father for punishment, and she let out a low whimper as she started dragging her feet. They both stopped and turned around, taking several steps toward her. She scattered backwards, holding out her hands. Kian, golden, beautiful Kian, had suddenly become as dangerous to her as Oscar. Kian's jaw was flexing, his eyes burning, but Oscar only nodded, spinning on his heel and continuing into the family center. She huddled into one corner of the elevator as they leaned against the opposite side, and then before she knew it, they were standing outside the room she usually met Teek and Charlie in. Kian knocked, but there was no answer.
Sorry,
a harried voice called out as the elevator dinged again. Teek and Charlie were rushing toward them.
Got a bit held up. Hi, sweetheart.
Teek gave her a brief smile before unlocking the door and motioning her inside. Kian moved to follow her, but Teek shook her head, her smile suddenly disappearing. You two can wait downstairs. Isabel sank into her usual chair, her body on autopilot. The panic hadn't disappeared, but it had lessened as Oscar commanded her body, simmering away somewhere in the back of her mind. Now she was just going through the motions.
You okay?
Charlie squeezed her hand, kneeling by Isabel's chair.
Want some water?
Isabel raised her head, glancing between Charlie and Teek, who had moved to the other side of her chair, picking up her free hand and just waiting. Waiting for her to talk.
I think I messed up, she whispered.
You know what I do whenever I think I messed up?
Charlie asked, a small, understanding smile curving along her mouth.
I imagine someone I love and respect doing that same thing. Does it still look like such a big mistake? Or are you just being way too hard on yourself?
Isabel lifted her head, settling miserable eyes on both women.
I almost had sex with Moses Kane.
Moses Kane?
Teek echoed, eyebrows shooting up. Charlie swallowed a laugh, trying to look sympathetic.
Okay, unexpected.
Both women fell back to their usual chairs, sharing a look with each other.
Well,
Teek cleared her throat, shifting nervously.
This is a little outside my purview as a Bond specialist. But who you sleep with is a personal choice, even if you have a mate. It certainly isn't recommended, but that's from a health perspective. Only you can decide what's right and wrong for your own body on a moral scale. I might have to intervene if you were fully bonded, though. That could be dangerous.
Yeah,
Isabel said blankly.
That's not actually what you're upset about, is it?
Charlie prodded. Isabel clenched her jaw and shook her head.
I might have feelings for Kian. And a few of my other surrogates.
So you're worried about upsetting your surrogates by becoming romantically involved with Moses?
Isabel scoffed.
It wasn't romantic. It was in the closet at the back of a classroom. During class.
Charlie smirked.
Gotta say, I'm enjoying this open communication.
Teek swatted her partner's knee before refocusing on Isabel, her expression stern.
You don't owe anything to any of those alphas, Isabel. They volunteered to surrogate for you, knowing that you already have a mate.
Isabel played with her fingers in her lap.
It wasn't really them I was thinking of. It's me. I don't want to feel anything for anyone. Not them, not my mate. Ever.
Teek leaned back, crossing her legs, her heel jiggling as she bounced her foot, her toned arms flexing like her body had suddenly grown tight with tension.
Not every Sigma is the same, she said, gentling her expression. And not every Alpha is your father. Have they done anything to hurt you, to make you feel unsafe?
Isabel swallowed, flicking her attention between the women.
She was pretty sure Kian and Moses choking her and fucking her with one of Professor Vega's crystals wasn't exactly what they meant.
Not really.
Not really?
Teek asked sharply.
I could have stopped them at any point. I didn't want to.
Them?
Charlie's brows jumped up, her mouth falling open.
Him?
Isabel flinched.
It wasn't just most...
Oh.
Teek flicked a look to the door.
Ashford was there, too.
Isabel nodded miserably. Charlie looked like she wanted to high-five her, but resisted.
Color me impressed.
Teek's foot stopped wiggling as she stared at Isabel.
Who else have you been involved with?
Isabel shrugged, feeling herself grow a little smaller.
I guess Theodore, Oscar, and Gabriel. And Killian, a little bit. And there was a weird moment with Elijah and Nico, and...
She cut herself off, about to say something about Kaelin.
And?
Charlie choked out as Teek fell against the back of her chair, eyes wide with shock.
And nothing.
Isabel hugged herself.
It sounds bad when I say it out loud.
Not bad,
Teek immediately cut in.
Just different. Do they all know about each other?
Well, they like to gossip and they tell each other everything, so probably. Teek chuckled.
Sounds like you know them well. So why did Sato and Ashford drag you here? And why did Ashford bring your appointment forward?
How did he even do that? Isabel returned, frowning.
He asked for my contact details in case of an emergency,
Teek explained.
Why did they think you needed to speak to us?
Because I wouldn't speak to them.
Why?
Because, I guess, I don't know how to. Teek cocked her head to the side, a strand of chocolate brown hair unwinding from around her ear.
You know, as Sigmas, we're taught that we're not really allowed to have emotions of our own. We're expected to exist to serve others, at least in the eyes of the people who still believe we have any power at all. If a Sigma has a breakdown, then they're basically non-functioning, because how can they level other people's emotions if they can't even control their own? We're held to an impossible, inhumane standard, even for the gifted.
You're allowed to feel whatever you're feeling,
Charlie added.
If you want to be mad, be mad. If you want to cry, then cry.
Never let them see you cry.
I can't. Isabel straightened her shoulders, pulling her chin up a little higher.
I just can't.
You can't yet, Teek corrected.
We're all just works in progress. Try to remember that. It's okay to do things differently.
You also can't stop them from reacting how they're going to.
Charlie shared a guarded look with Teek.
There needs to be space for you to have feelings and for them to have feelings. You can't control theirs, and you also can't control yours, I'm afraid.
Isabel smiled a little, suddenly feeling tired enough to sink into the armchair and fall asleep.
I'm discovering that. What's the worst that could happen if you accepted the bond you're hiding from?
Teek suddenly questioned, turning the conversation in a direction Isabel hadn't been expecting.
I could lead an empty life, locked away in an apartment in the sky, with nothing to fill my time until the day I disappear without a trace.
Teek nodded, sharing another quick look with Charlie, who nodded glumly, before she shifted to the edge of her chair, reaching for Isabel's hands.
Your mother didn't disappear without a trace. She died of cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest. Her heart stopped. Suddenly, Isabel couldn't breathe again. It was everything she had feared. Her mother had taken on all of her father's darkness without Isabel there to share the load, and it had proved too much.
And what's the worst that could happen if you stopped fighting your feelings for, well, your feelings?
Teek prodded, squeezing Isabel's fingers and ducking her head to catch Isabel's attention.
I could lose the person I've found here that finally feels like me,
she rushed out, realizing that she was shaking so much she was causing Teek's sleeves to tremble slightly.
I could lose this awful spark of happiness that scares the hell out of me. It's not that I felt invisible before and now suddenly I'm famous. I still feel just as invisible, but now there are people who seem to understand me. It's like they know me better than I do. And I don't want to lose how that makes me feel. I'm discovering myself through them. And I wish I wasn't. I wish I was doing it all on my own.
We don't go through life all on our own, Teek said soothingly. Changing your environment is how you change yourself. Your environment has changed in a big way, and it looks like the alphas in Dorm A are a big part of your environment here. If you like the way they're influencing you, then maybe don't fight it so much. If something happens to pull you away from them, you'll still have everything they taught you. You won't lose any of it.
And it makes total sense that they're having such a profound impact on you.
Charlie moved to sit on the arm of Isabel's chair, draping her arm over Isabel's shoulder and giving her a gentle squeeze.
Their lives have been the opposite of yours in every single aspect. They're respected where you're looked down on. They're powerless where you have all the wealth and influence of an icon's daughter. They're celebrated, and you're disregarded. They have impossible standards to live up to, and you're underestimated every single day, in every way possible. They have so much to teach you, and you have so much to teach them. It's not surprising that you're drawn to each other. I mean, some things are surprising.
Teek swatted at her again.
Stop it.
Do I sound like I'm judging?
Charlie laughed.
No,
Teek grumbled. You sound impressed.
She counted out 8 of them,
Charlie stage whispered.
And then she said, and.
I was just trying to count Kian twice, because he's so hot, Isabel protested weakly. The two women retreated, Teek checking her phone while Charlie just sat back in her chair, still smirking.
I asked your father for an update on what his plans were to help you through the summer break.
Teek frowned as she scrolled across her screen.
It looks like he still hasn't replied. Has he spoken to you?
Not since last week, Isabel shrugged.
He's really preoccupied with getting this new superhero movie. He's up against Bellamy's dad, and things are getting a bit tense. I've met with his assistant and Cooper more than I've met with him the past few weeks.
Cooper's the guy with the goatee, right? Teak asked, tapping her chin. I saw him in some of the coverage of your settlement tour. Is he your official manager, or your father's? Mine now. Dad made me sign a contract to keep him on after I got out of the hospital. But he's more of a messenger than anything. I'll try to get into contact with him instead. Teak sighed, slipping her phone away. I'm worried your father won't prioritize the need for surrogates over the break. He should have submitted an application for one of them already, and there's been nothing. At this point, it's going to have to be an emergency application. Isabel's blood ran cold. Maybe he forgot. He's been really busy. All right, well, we can leave it there for now. I think we should continue our sessions over the break. At least once a week. We can video chat, and I can intervene if I see that your health is at risk. Isabel stood, chewing on her lip. I didn't last very long on the settlement tour without a surrogate. I'll video call you 3 days into the break, Teak assured. You're not just your father's responsibility anymore. Now you're Ironsides.
You were about to say yours, weren't you?
Charlie teased, sending Isabel a wink.
Also mine, Teak sniffed, looking Isabel over. Give me your phone. You'll need my details for our online sessions.
After they exchanged information, the panic dropped back into Isabel's gut, and she found herself with nerves dancing all the way to her fingertips.
You've got this,
Charlie muttered, patting her on the shoulder before opening the door and striding out. The hallway was blissfully bare, and she slipped into the elevator with Teak and Charlie, wishing she could just follow them all the way to wherever they lived and never have to face the Alphas again. But there was no such luck. It wasn't just Kian and Oscar waiting for her. The rest of the Alphas were gathered in the family center, spread out around three of the tables, with Kaelin and Mikkel leaning against the wall between two of the windows, looking out toward the front of the academy.
Well, well, this is surprising.
Teak stopped as soon as she exited the elevator, her gaze drifting over the gathered men, taking in their carefully guarded expressions.
Professor West, Professor Easton.
She turned her attention to the tall bodies at the back of the room.
Can I help you?
No, Mikkel replied. We're good.
His tone wasn't harsh, but it wasn't sugary sweet, either. He examined Isabel closely before settling his attention back on Teak.
Is there anything I need to be aware of?
What could you possibly need to be aware of?
Teak feigned ignorance, putting on a calm, confused demeanor. It made Isabel like her that much more. It wasn't every day she saw a Sigma stand up to 10 guarded Alphas, all radiating tense, overwhelming energy. Actually, it wasn't any day.
Carter is one of my Alphas.
Mikkel nodded toward Isabel.
Her welfare is my concern. Is there anything I need to be aware of?
Carter is a Sigma,
Charlie inserted, raising her hand.
You should prepare emergency paperwork for some of your Alphas to travel if the need for a surrogate arises,
Teak said, surprising everyone.
Have them ready to be filed. It would appear that Isabel's father hasn't arranged a care plan for the summer break.
She's going home alone?
Kian growled, jumping up from the edge of the table he had been sitting on, his tattooed hands curling into fists, which he quickly shoved into his pockets. Pockets that pulled the material of his pants tight around his crotch, which reminded her that his dick had been in her mouth an hour ago.
Shit, shit, shit.
She sucked in a deep, shaky breath, looking away from Kian.
I'm going to be late for my next...
You're with me right now,
Mikkel interrupted, a hint of iron to his tone. Kaelin pushed off the wall, stalking closer.
Thank you.
He aimed that at Charlie and Teak, before stopping short of Isabel and returning his heavy stare to them over her head.
We'll make sure the paperwork is ready.
Right. Well,
Okay. I'll be speaking to you soon, Isabel. Teek squeezed her shoulder quickly before striding for the entrance, her heels clacking hastily.
Later, kiddo.
Charlie waved at her, flashing an unbothered smile before following Teek out of the family center.
Moses was having a hard time wrangling his emotions under control, and as soon as the other Sigma walked away, he lost his grip on the barrier he had been hoarding it all behind, something they had all been practicing lately. He felt the crack in his efforts, felt the pressure in his chest ease as some of it slipped out. Isabel didn't even flinch, even though he was sure several of the others had probably just done the exact same thing. To stand there and get battered by anger, worry, and confusion from 10 different angles wasn't an easy thing to do. But the girl was a professional sponge. She rubbed her nose with the heel of her palm, eyes diverted to the windows as they all fell into silence. Luckily, the film crews are tied up at the moment, following around their picks for the Icon winner this year. Kaelin groused out in a terse voice, though his scent didn't match the burning, smoking sugar he emitted when he was angry. He stroked his chin, considering Carter. I think we could probably keep you here without them interrupting. Until you finally tell us what's happening, that is.
Isabel squared off her shoulders, setting her jaw as she tried to muster the energy to face them all. Usually, Moses liked the fight in her, the stubbornness that matched his, the steely backbone he liked to bend just a little too much for his own comfort. But not right now. He didn't want her to have to fight when she was scared. He would rather do that for her. He would do it for everyone, if they let him.
Look.
She started to pace across the tiled stone floor, her steps hurried and nervous.
This is getting a little complicated. I thought, with the surrogacy thing...
She cut herself off, shaking her head like she was already disagreeing with the train of thought she had just gone down. Was that what was bothering her? She hadn't freaked out getting close to Theodore, Oscar, or Gabriel. Maybe the problem was him. Maybe she needed really clear boundaries.
I applied to be a surrogate,
he announced,
lying through his fucking teeth. Everyone's head whipped around to him. Elijah and Gabriel looked expectant.
Elijah even a little impatient. Likely annoyed that it had taken Moses too long to get on with whatever action he had predicted Moses should take. Theodore's eyes flashed dark with anger. Killian shifted, discomfort lining his shoulders. Nico nodded slightly.
What?
Isabel stuttered, spinning to face him.
Why was his face hot? Why was his face burning with the slightest tinge of color now? He had just fucked her with a goddamn crystal and exploded in her mouth. But now he was blushing? Awesome. Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
He cleared his throat, focusing on Oscar for a moment. The other alpha had an angry challenge simmering behind a hard stare. That was going to be a fight later. Moses looked forward to it.
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask you. Is that okay?
She seemed shocked silent, her throat working as she tried to dredge up an answer.
Yes? I mean, sure. Yes. Thank you?
She smiled, emotion trembling across her lips. Relief flashing in her eyes.
So, all of that was...
Just doing my part.
He waved her off. Her shoulders inched down, relief visibly flooding through her body.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Most people would be weeping with rejection by this point. Killian, Theodore, and Kian also relaxed, but the confusion on their faces deepened. Moses wanted to punch something to ease his frustration.
The level of intellect required to keep up with this one girl was off the charts. She never did what he expected.
Especially not in the closet.
Things got a little out of hand, Kian said, as though his thoughts had naturally gravitated to the same place. It definitely wasn't supposed to go that far. Do you understand, Illy? Theodore stiffened, flashing a glare from Kian to Isabel. Moses knew his brother better than anyone, and while Theodore had an impressive amount of self-control, he also tended to lose it in a spectacular way. They had pushed him pretty far today.
I didn't mean for that either.
Isabel copied Moses' dismissive hand wave, her eyes darting to the floor.
Maybe some ground rules would help.
Nico spoke up. Kaelin and Mikkel seemed to have taken a back seat in the discussion for now. They preferred for the rest of them to sort out their own messes, but they seemed tense enough that they would probably step in this time if things got too heated. Luckily, they had Nico. If anyone could make this whole situation sound all nice and neat and reasonable, it was Nico.
Do you have any in mind?
Nico prodded Isabel gently.
Anything that's absolutely off-limits to you?
Isabel nodded, and then shook her head. They waited, but she didn't say anything.
Okay.
Nico looked like he wanted to smile.
Anyone else?
She needs a proper safe word, Kian announced.
What the fuck would she need one of those for?
Oscar growled, jumping out of his chair and prowling toward Kian. Moses quickly inserted himself between them, trying to catch Oscar's eyes, and everyone was too distracted to notice Theodore slipping past them and slamming Kian against the wall.
What did you do to her?
Enough,
barked Kaelin, his alpha voice like a wave through the room.
Everyone sit down. Now.
Oh my god!
Isabel was staring at Kian in horror as they all moved to obey Kaelin, Oscar choosing to stand just to prove he could. Kian had three deep gouges cutting across his neck and into his chest. He was holding both hands over the wounds, but blood was trying to spill through his fingers. Theodore slumped into a chair, gripping the table in front of him with a black clawed hand, the talons elongated and painted